Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
One to watch. Starbucks workers in Buffalo trying to unionize. What the company is doing to fight back. After a long delay, flight attendants to get more rest time. And today on the show, the latest from the Communication Workers of America and the United Steelworkers. Welcome to the Tuesday, November 9th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and the platform known as Stitcher. Two guests on the show today. We're going to start things off with Frank Matthews, no stranger to this show. He comes to us from the Communication Workers of America, CWA-union.org. He is the administrative director for District 4. They have nine districts around the country. District 4 includes five states, Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin, as well as Illinois. Number one story we're going to talk about, the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. Finally, we got passage Friday night from the House. It already passed in the Senate, and it's my understanding that Biden won't sign this until, I guess, next week. Now, this does not include the reconciliation package. This is primarily infrastructure. Here's what the communication workers are saying. They love it because there's $65 billion in the bill to support the expansion and affordability of broadband, which will help close the digital divide. This has been going on in America ever since the internet started. You've got poor communities that do not have access. And this came to the forefront, especially with COVID-19, when everybody was going to school remotely. Well, for the first time, the bill prioritizes broadband projects from employers who follow labor law. That means the funding will create good, sustainable jobs in our communities. Also, the legislation addresses the nation's airports and air traffic control facilities. It allocates $25 billion for airport improvement projects, airport terminal development, and FAA facilities and equipment. And that will make our airports safer for travelers and for the CWA passenger service agents and flight attendants who ensure that our air travel runs smoothly. Speaking of which, I have a really interesting story about the flight attendants. They're finally going to get some more rest time. And some of the stories are horrific on that. So Frank's going to primarily get into that. There's another story, and this is posted on their website. It's a company called Maximus, and the workers there have been organizing with the CWA because they're hurting when it comes to health care. Now, get this. Maximus, what they do, the workers there, they enroll people in affordable health plans during enrollment season for Medicare, which is going on right now. Okay? They're enrolling the people. They have lousy health care, high deductibles, high out-of-pocket expenses. That's why they're trying to link up with the CWA. So Frank will touch on that. Brian Seely from the Steelworkers, and he's with in District 1, which covers the state of Ohio. He's going to be joining us later in the show. And he's going to talk about what's happening at Local 3057. And I touched on this last week. This involves about 500 steelworkers who went on strike after contract renewal negotiations between ArcelorMittal and their union, the steelworkers, broke down abruptly, just all of a sudden. The crazy thing about this story, the company comes to the table and says, well, here's our final offer. Then they got up and left. They went to Pennsylvania before the union could give a response. Now, Brian told me just the other day, they finally got back together, but it's not going very well. I mean, that's pretty much it in a nutshell. So we're going to get an update from him. Again, that's the Steelworkers Local 3057. Just weird things happening. Speaking of the Steelworkers, I want to play a clip. We had Fred Redmond on the show. Fred, now the Secretary Treasurer of the AFL-CIO, and he's still with the Steelworkers Union. He handles human affairs. He's also a vice president, been with the Steelworkers since 1973. And he touched on this in our show on Friday about workers out west at Kaiser Permanente. And the Steelworkers Union, what they decided to do was shine a light on members like Michelle Bass. Now, Michelle is one of many black and brown members of the Steelworkers Local there, which is 7,600. Michelle gets paid less for the same work as other Kaiser Permanente employees in Southern California. Apparently, they pay blacks less than whites. I have to wonder where the discrimination laws and why they haven't been taken to court on this. I don't know that story. But anyway, I want to play a clip here. And this was tweeted out last week. Let's listen here on America's Workforce.
This is systemic racism because 70-75% of the employees in the Inland Empire are minorities. We're making less than our fellow workers that are in LA, Orange County, and San Diego and other areas. It disappoints me that I'm not worth making, you know, what other employees make for the same hard work. And in this time, the last almost 2 years, it's been very, very difficult. And I have been coughed on, spit on. I have been grabbed. I've been cussed at. I've been mistreated. So now when coming to Kaiser, they're backing off of wanting to pay us what we're worth. We were great in the midst of the uncertainty of COVID. And now when it's kind of dying down, we're not worth it anymore. What dignity means in my work is being true to my patients, doing what I need to do to keep them healthy, and also being recognized for that. I don't do the job for recognition, but sometimes along the line, you would like to be recognized, and sometimes that includes being paid for what I do. I put myself out there. I was worth it then to be a hero. Why am I not worth it now? My one ask is just appreciate what we're doing and be grateful for what we're doing. Instead of, I feel the foot is on us and they don't have any appreciation for anything that we're doing.
I remember Fred telling me on Friday that they had a really good relationship with Kaiser Permanente, but apparently they got new people in management and everything has gone south. Now, the Steelworkers and Kaiser management, along with 20 other local unions who belong to the Alliance for Healthcare Unions, have been negotiating since this past spring. This is to cover a labor agreement that will roughly involve 50,000 healthcare workers in nearly every geographic area where Kaiser has a presence. The Steelworkers, again, this is Local 7600, said that the union has given Kaiser a 10-day notice of its intent to strike over unfair labor practices, and that will begin on Monday, November 15th, if they don't come to some resolve. Well, here is one to watch. Approximately 100 Starbucks employees at 3 Buffalo area stores will be mailed ballots by the NLRB tomorrow. Ahead of the vote, which will occur over the course of 4 weeks, Bloomberg reports that the company has stepped up its aggressive anti-union campaign, bringing in the founder and former CEO, Howard Schultz, to speak to the employees. How about that? In a move that showcases the difficulties that organizing campaigns face, Buffalo area stores closed for the occasion, and employees were paid to attend. It followed a complaint filed against Starbucks last week by SEIU affiliate Workers United, alleging that Starbucks has illegally engaged in a campaign of threats, intimidation, and surveillance. Now, Mr. Schultz left the event when asked by employee Gianna Reeve whether he would support fair principles proposed by pro-union employees to guide the company's behavior during the election. when she asked him that, he said, well, he just kind of shrugged it off and walked out. The unionization vote will occur on a store-by-store basis rather than a regional vote. We're talking 20 stores in the region, which was favored by the company. The ballots will be counted on December 9th, while Starbucks has cultivated a progressive brand. Schultz has long been a vocal opponent of unionization. Employees who favor unionization argue that experienced staff are underpaid, employees are not scheduled for enough hours, and that without a union, employees don't have the security to speak up about customer harassment or unsafe conditions. So that will be an interesting one. Now let's go on to the flight attendants. After a long delay, and this was imposed by Trump's Transportation Department, the Federal Aviation Administration has approved longer rest hours, 10 of them, after 14 hours or more stretches in the air for the nation's flight attendants. The rest period rises from its current 9 hours between supposed maximum work periods, and the new rest period cannot be reduced under any circumstances, according to the rule. Comment here from Sarah Nelson. She's the president of the Association of Flight Attendants, which is connected to the CWA. Fatigue is real. We need our 10 hours yesterday. Well, her union has led the long fight for more rest time between long flight times. But the rule, unfortunately, won't kick in until after the FAA takes public comments, which are due by January 3rd, then reviews and responds via the Federal Register. That's what you got to do with the government. The flight attendants unions, led by the Association of Flight Attendants, joined by the Association of Professional Flight Attendants, the Machinists, the Teamsters Airline Division, the AFL-CIO Transportation Trades Department, and the transport workers, all of them, they all got together and lobbied for years for the longer and mandated rest periods to reduce the strain of their on and off schedules often disrupted by bad weather and other factors. Now, it turns out the airline pilots, they already have the 10 hours rest, and they've had that for a number of years. This is really crazy what's been going on. And under the current rules, one Southwest airline plane, this was a couple of years ago, flew from Denver to Texas to Miami, and then after a half an hour cleaning break, took off again for Fort Lauderdale in Baltimore. The same flight crew was aboard all the way. Now, when the plane got to Baltimore, fog had socked in all the area airports from Richmond, Virginia to Philadelphia, and the pilots couldn't land. The plane circled for at least 3 hours, had to divert to Norfolk, Virginia to refuel, and finally made it to Baltimore when the fog lifted. This was after 2 in the morning. Scheduled landing had been 9 p.m. So 5 hours lost right there. Those attendants who were in the air for at least 18 hours with only half-hour breaks for cleaning in Texas and Miami and a short boarding break in Fort Lauderdale were dead on their feet, so to speak. One passenger wondered how the pilots fared as well. That's what's been going on in the sky. Makes you wonder, do you really want to get on a plane when you hear stories like that? My God, it is getting better, though. Thank God. All right, we have to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to link up with Frank Matthews on behalf of the Communication Workers of America.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Mesothelioma is a rare type of cancer caused by exposure to asbestos. If you are exposed to asbestos and have mesothelioma or lung cancer, the trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at KellyandFerraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland at 216-881-1802. Call Music Talent of Cleveland as your dependable source for professional musicians in Northeast Ohio. Union musicians add harmony to weddings, elegance to parties, and uplifting music for all events. Music Talent of Cleveland contracts solo and ensemble musicians as well as bands and orchestras for single engagements. So hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland today. 216-881-1802.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferentz with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle, real simple, AWF Union Podcast. AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this segment is brought to you in part by the United Labor Agency. They connect people with employment. You can find more at ulagency.org, ulagency.org. Also, another sponsor is the gentleman on the other side of the phone, and that would be Mr. Frank Matthews, Administrative Director of the Communication Workers of America, District 4. Frank, how are we doing today, brother?
We are doing very well, very well. Thanks for asking, and it's a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day. We're getting some really good weather in Ohio, and we savor the moment, especially in November. No doubt about that.
It's November.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. Well, you got some good news, finally, out of Washington. I'm referring to the Infrastructure Act, and it's actually titled the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. And you and I have had many conversations about this legislation because this will make dramatic improvements to broadband. $65 billion. I guess that might move the needle in the right direction, don't you think, Frank?
I think so. You know, if there's anything we've learned the last couple of years is that, you know, labor and particularly CWA, we've been preaching the digital divide and the haves and the have-nots in this country when it comes to broadband. And the whole COVID thing proved it. We had families in rural Ohio and rural parts of the country that were driving to McDonald's at night to do their kids' homework during the COVID and homeschooling, you know, when kids were homeschooled because they didn't have adequate broadband at their own house. So let's just hope this does it. I mean, we need a real and it's not only just broadband. When you hear broadband, a lot of people's definition is broadband are different. You know, the average person out there that's got virtually no internet in their area is liable to be tickled to death on the front end with some sort of short term, maybe 6 meg wireless. But we keep preaching that we need pipelines by people's houses that are capable of delivering 100 megs. You know, and that's what our hope is with this, is that the powers that be and that the providers out there, and then certainly the hope is that these networks are built with our folks, because we've proven time and time again that networks built by union labor are, first off, they come in under budget. Secondly, they're done right. And third, they're done safely. So that's the end goal, is to get broadband throughout the country, have it done by qualified union labor. And, you know, it's twofold. It's not only the front end of the internet and the ability to do things from your home. Once these pipelines get built into these communities, I honestly think we're going to see a resurgence in rural parts of the state with corporations and opportunities again, because when these companies come in and they look for a place to put a business like a healthcare center or a banking center or a plant of any sort, they're looking for infrastructure, and this bill answers all of them. It answers the broadband aspect. It answers the roads and airports and you know, so if these businesses are coming in, hopefully at the end of this, anywhere, and they say, hey, is there adequate broadband? Are there adequate railroads? Are there adequate highways. Maybe the answer will be for once, and for we've witnessed the last 30 to 40 years the decline of our infrastructure in this country. Maybe this will do it, and I feel good about it. I really do. I think it's a pivot in the right direction by some folks realizing that, you know, it's not a race to the bottom. We have to start worrying about the future and our kids' future and jobs of the future, and this is a good start.
Frank, I want to expand on something that you just touched on, and I noticed this in the press release, which is on the national website, cwa-union.org. For the first time, the bill prioritizes broadband projects from employers who follow labor law. When I read that, I'm thinking to myself, well, there's got to be an awful lot of employers who are circumventing labor law in America. So it's my understanding that the writers of this legislation were very specific, making sure that, as you pointed out, goes to the unions, to CWA. And it's been proven time and time again, when you go union, you actually save money in the long run. You're doing the job safely, and so on and so forth. So I'm just wondering, I would imagine that probably took a bit of lobbying on behalf of the CWA, right?
Yeah, it did. But believe it or not, elections matter, and we've probably got the most union-friendly president we've ever had in this country in the Oval Office right now, in Joe Biden. And he gets it. He knows that, you know, if you leave the decisions and the how-tos up to some of these corporate CEOs, it's simply a race to the bottom, and the lowest price contractor or subcontractor or subcontractor of a subcontractor will get the work regardless of their labor record, regardless of whether they've fought employees who have tried to unionize in the past, whether they've been found guilty of labor violations, whether they have had safety violation after safety violation. A lot of times these corporate CEOs, they chase that bottom dollar, and they don't care how it's done, just as long as it's done by somebody else. Now there's going to be actual accountability in who's doing this work. And we've been preaching this for two decades to city leaders that, you know what, when these companies and these utility companies and these companies are coming in and they're building networks, they're building roads, they're building anything in your community, do you really know who's in there working? Because I'll be honest with you, you know, we're in a situation to where we're dealing with subcontractors of subcontractors, and I think this clears a lot of that up. This will reward those companies that have been good players, if you will, on the nation's labor laws. And you're right, it's huge. We've never had a bill that had that kind of language in there, and it's finally about time. The unions are what built this country. I think we've got some folks in there now that realize that, you know, back in the 40s, when the unions were gaining steam, and through 1970 to 75, we saw unparalleled prosperity amongst the middle class and the rising wages. As productivity rose, so did wages, and you know, people get it. As the middle class goes, so does this country. People purchase homes, they purchase cars, they purchase everything. They purchase stuff at the local hardware store. And thank God that finally, you know, some legislation is getting passed that recognizes that. And to piggyback on that, I would even look for more Buy American bills to start coming out that, I saw something online the other day, and, you know, there was a bunch of talk about the shipping containers that are sitting out in California on ships. Well, you know what? It's kind of hard to have something sitting in a harbor that's made in America.
yeah.
waiting to get unloaded in America if it's made in this country. So I'm just encouraged by it all, and you're right. That's probably the besides the sheer money that we're going to be able to put into infrastructure in this country, the rewarding the companies and making sure labor, good labor, companies with good labor records is, I guess, the best way to say it is first in line here. But it's only half of it. We've got the Build Back Better portion coming here within a week or two, I think, and that's going to be like the 1-2 punch, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny you talk about the shipping containers off the West Coast. I read an email from the Alliance for American Manufacturing on the show yesterday, and they sent out an email starting a campaign about buying American-made goods, to your point. And this is what the email reads. Keep your gifts out of shipping container jail. Shop made in the USA. You gotta love that. Because there's people thinking, hey, I think my gift is floating over there in the Pacific somewhere on a ship. So, yeah, they do a great job in making sure that we buy American. And, you know, Frank, this didn't happen overnight. All these jobs that left America started probably 40, 50 years ago.
Yep.
And 20 years ago, we normalized relations with China. And I know a couple of progressive organizations had figured out we lost 3.7 million jobs on that alone. On that alone. So almost 4 million jobs disappeared. And now we're paying the price. That's
yep.
yeah, we're paying the price, and prices are going up because now they can't get the distribution together. So it's a mess. But this is all good news. Now, you mentioned the reconciliation package. That's a Build Back Better. How do you feel about that? Because that's been tossed around, chopped down. I don't know. What's your gut telling you on that one?
I feel good about it. I know they're, you know, on this bill, on the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. We actually had 13 Republicans cross over and vote for it. And in this day and age, when everything is so partisan and so politicized, and you know everybody's afraid of doing anything outside of their comfort zone, to have 13 Republicans cross over, we did have 6 Democrats vote against it, but. I think that was more symbolic because they were aggravated that the bills got split up, to be honest, because there were some of the more progressive folks in Congress that wanted these two bills hand in hand, tied to each other at the hip, passed at the same time. And there was a little bit of aggravation, I think, amongst those 6 Ds. I think they'll be there at the end on this thing. But the fact that we were able to get 13 Republicans and such a strong bipartisan vote on this first part really encourages me on the second part. And I would hope that it would get a vote within the next 2 weeks or so, I would hope.
All right. We'll see what happens. Frank Matthews on our live line. He's a District 4 Administrative Director for the CWA. That's the Communication Workers of America. CWA-union.org is their website. Brian Seeley, on behalf of the steelworkers, is going to talk about a strike at an Ohio steel company. And apparently it involves ArcelorMittal, who just got up and walked out. It's all part of America's Workforce. Back in a few minutes.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
You're listening to America's Workforce, and this upcoming segment is brought to you by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. Check them out online at OFT-AFT.org.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our raising wages agenda, go to aflcio.org.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And just a quick reminder, we're available now on 6 platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and now Stitcher. When you get an opportunity, just sign up, receive our shows on a regular basis, and eventually give us a rating. We always like those 5-star ratings. All right, let's go back to our live line, rejoin Frank Matthews on behalf of the Communication Workers of America. This is an interesting story, Frank. You've got workers that are trying to enroll people in affordable health plans. Those workers that are trying to do that have lousy health care plans, and they're trying to organize with the CWA. We're talking about workers at Maximus. Talk to me about this story. What the heck is going on, Frank?
It's, you know, it's another one of those, if you can't make this stuff up. You know, a company bids on a contract to be the call center that explains, signs up, and gets people enrolled in the Affordable Care Act, and that's Maximus, and they're all over, and their folks are you know, they're struggling with health care and wages like anybody else, and they're they've been organizing with CWA over the last year or so, but you know, this is a highlight of the real issue. Maximus takes a contract from the federal government and then doesn't even take care of their own employees to the extent that the ACA or the Affordable Care Act does. So, you know, that's the highlight of it, that, you know, these Maximus employees, you know, some of them in many cases are, you know, every day paying over a $4,500 deductible each year. Their health care plans that Maximus offers them at where they work are substantially worse than what's afforded to folks on the ACA. And they're like, well, what's wrong with this picture, you know? And we have on our website, if you go to CWA.org, we've got all sorts of stories that these Maximus employees have shared with healthcare, with the horrors of the unaffordable healthcare and how it affects them and their families. And, you know, and there's actually a report that you can click on, and it will list just how much better the ACA plan is over what Maximus employees are being offered. So, it's another case of, you know, the quick flippant answer would be, well, why don't these people just flip to the ACA? No, these people actually have jobs that work for a company that, you know, is making money off the ACA. It's much like we talk about many corporations in America that have people working 40, sometimes more than 40 hours a week, and they're still collecting assistance. Why are we continuing this corporate welfare model? You know, Maximus should be offering their employees better than what the ACA has, or at least comparable. This isn't even comparable to what they're offering their employees, and these employees are the folks that are selling and explaining the benefits of the ACA to folks, average Joes, when they call in. And that's what's really sticking in their craw. They have to explain a plan that the federal government is offering that's actually better than what their employees giving, your employers giving. So unfortunately, it's not a one-off. This isn't the only case like that, but Maximus workers have are really voicing their opinions here, and they're really voicing their opinions that, you know, they need to organize with CWA and they need better health care, and it's a real highlight of a problem here in this country.
Frank, do you know where they are in their organizing drive right now? I would imagine
many different stages across the country, but it's early, and some further than others, and I don't know exactly where everybody is. I know they've been working with our organizers at CWA and following, doing what they have to get elections where they work and that kind of thing.
Yeah. I like what the union is doing. And this story is posted on the national website, CWA-union.org. If you're a Maximus employee and listening to this show, they want you to share your healthcare story and join the fight. And this is a great way to communicate with your brothers and sisters on this, because they need all the help they can get. And there's a couple of audio clips and video on the website as well. You can listen to the workers, and apparently the Mississippi NAACP and the AFL-CIO is helping out. I mean, this is ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. Just another example here, too. I don't know where they are, like you mentioned, on the organizing drive, but I would imagine that they're going to be fighting back, which is another reason why we need the PRO Act in this country, the Richard Trumka PRO Act, Protect the Right to Organize. Anything new on that, by the way, Frank? Are we stepping up the game on that, because we got the infrastructure package done? And I know there's a couple of components of the PRO Act in the reconciliation bill.
Right.
What do we know about that right now?
Well, the PRO Act itself, while there's still, you know, us optimistic folks out here, but in all reality, unless they scrap the filibuster, it's going to be hard pressed, and it's got a lot of things going against it. Now, if the powers that be and the Dems in Congress or in the Senate would scrap that filibuster and do what they had to do to get all these things passed that people elected to have passed, yeah, it would have a great shot. But on the bright side, there are, like you said, there are a lot of things that, like the labor protections that are in this Build Back Better, the penalties against CEOs for violating labor rights, the write-offs of union dues again, that kind of thing are in this Build Back Better portion because they are budget-oriented. That's a good thing. But the PRO Act bill itself, I think, our best shot right now. And things could change, because I'll be honest with you. You know, this is me talking. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a feeling out there by some in the Senate that, well, we probably shouldn't do away with the filibuster, because if in 4 years, 6 years, we don't have the Senate anymore, you know, we want to be able to stop, you know, bad things like they're stopping good things now. But I, in my heart, do not believe that there's any doubt that as soon as the GOP would ever take the Senate back over, they will scrap the filibuster in a New York minute if that's what it takes to get what they think is good for CEOs and good for corporate America and good for the stockholders of this country. So I think it's time. I think the filibuster is an antiquated Jim Crow era tactic that needs to go. And let's turn the Senate into the great debate, place of great debate that it once was. And, you know, things like that, these little dodges and these little tricks and these little unconstitutional tactics that are used, they run contrary to elections mattering, because, you know, here the people of this country spoke the last election and gave the Democrats control of the Senate, and they're really limited on what they can do because of that. So, you know, elections should matter, and, you know, 10 people in an opposing party should not speak for the whole country, you know.
Yeah, I hear you. I think a lot of people feel the same way. I mean, we've elected a lot of good people to Congress. Okay, get the job done. Get the job done. That's what they want. All right, my friend, you take care. Frank Matthews, Administrative Director, CWA District 4. It includes five states in the Midwest, Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Illinois. You take care. Stay safe. We'll talk to you in December, all right?
Take care, brother.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Brian Seely, on behalf of the steelworkers, coming up next.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The United Auto Workers are one of the largest and most diverse unions in North America, with members in virtually every sector of the economy. Learn more about this proud sponsor of our program at UAW.org.
Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after taking Zantac? If you have taken Zantac and have cancer, you may be entitled to compensation. The trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at KellyandFerraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy,
and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook. That would be AWF Union Podcast, which is also our Twitter handle, AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to line number two. Welcome to the show, Brian Seely. Brian is a staff rep for the United Steelworkers, one of the many proud sponsors of America's Workforce. And I'll tell you, he has been working overtime trying to find out what the heck is going on with ArcelorMittal and Steelworkers Local 3057. About 500 steelworkers went on strike, and this is in Shelby, Ohio, right outside of Mansfield. And apparently, ArcelorMittal is playing a bit of hardball here. Hey, Brian, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Flash.
Give me a little background on this. What the heck is going on at this facility?
We've been in negotiations for about 8 weeks now, and up to expiration, which was October 31st at midnight. I mean, things were going along. We were getting there. We still had a ways to go, but then company threw out a final offer on the table about 10 hours prior to expiration, and we said, okay, we'll review it and get back with you. They said, okay, but in turn, unannounced, they picked their things up and left the conference rooms we were in at the hotel. We had a question about 15 minutes later, wanted to talk to their rep outside, and he was on his way back to Pittsburgh.
Brian, has that ever happened before in negotiations? They just got up and decided, and I mean, you had something to discuss, but they didn't want to discuss it, right?
Correct. It's never happened to me before. I've been doing this now for 8 years. Yeah, everybody was surprised. They were taken back. You know, with 10 hours to go, we still, you know, we're at the bargaining table. We wanted to get an agreement. In no way did we want to go out on strike. I mean, look, Flash, in the end, you know, they caused this. You know, they left us with no choice.
Yeah.
In the end.
Can we get into the issues here? What's the story there at ArcelorMittal?
Well, there's like three or four issues that pretty much remain on the table, even as of today. We're due to meet with them this morning. One of the major issues is we've proposed that the guys get two guaranteed weekends off a year. Because what they do here is the majority of the 500, a little over 500 bargaining unit employees there are scheduled 7 days a week. They work 7 days a week. So we requested the weekend after Thanksgiving. They get the paid holiday. We requested a guaranteed weekend there, and then a guaranteed weekend after Good Friday, which is their holiday they get paid for, and we'd have Easter off, unpaid. And they continually refuse, or they'll offer us one, but they will not provide, you know, the two guaranteed weekends off. And then the other issues are, of course, health care. They continue to raise the cost of the premium, the contribution that the employee would otherwise make towards their health care. The wages are very low, and the pension. The pension has been increased once in the last 16 years.
Is this the company that was bought out by Cleveland Cliffs? Didn't they acquire ArcelorMittal? And Cleveland Cliffs has been a pretty good player. I don't understand this.
Yes, but Cliffs bought a different division. Cliffs bought ArcelorMittal USA.
All right.
ArcelorMittal Shelby is part of ArcelorMittal North America. It's a different sector, and they're a tubular division where Cliffs bought all of the flat roll.
Okay. So they're playing hardball. That's the bottom line. And they have a history of doing that kind of thing?
Well, they have a history of low wages, with low wage increases. They're a very prosperous plant. I mean, over July, August, and September, I believe it was, they had a net income of over $15 million in the 3 months alone.
Whoa. That's a chunk of money.
Yeah, and then, I mean, corporate-wide, Flash, Arcelor's made $6.3 billion in the first half alone, net income. So, I mean, I don't know what the problem is. And look, we're in this a different climate now with the pandemic. I mean, there's still restrictions out there and mandates going on with masks. These guys were labeled essential workers. You know, they put it out there the whole time. A lot of them did get sick. I mean, it just recently flashed the most egregious thing, I think, is the company offered the vaccine to the employees out there, which was a great thing. That's not the egregious part of this, but yeah, they offered it on site. Workers could go during their shift and get the shot if they elected to. Of course, it's their choice.
Yeah.
So a group of them, I think it's 9 or 10 of them, have went or did go, but the company decided to dock them when they left their job, even though they were excused to leave. They docked them the half hour or more while they went and got the vaccine.
Oh, my gosh.
And what exactly that did was it stopped anybody from getting the vaccine.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's just those type of things. These are the people we're dealing with.
Let me ask you, Brian, did a lot of the workers there take advantage of the fact that they can get the vaccine there? Did they do that?
They had started to, but then when they realized they were being docked a half hour, 40 minutes, it pretty much ceased. People went and did it on their own time elsewhere.
And let me guess, the company was not upfront about docking their pay, were they?
No, they weren't.
No, they weren't. Oh, my God. Here, you could get the vaccine on your time, not a problem, and you'll be taken care of. And then you look at your paycheck, and all of a sudden, half hour is gone. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So
we're talking, what, 500 steelworkers there?
Yeah, a little over 500. I think then that last number was 502, 503.
Yeah.
You know, and there, you know, hiring's been an issue. It's been an issue everywhere. They've hired over 100 people. We have only been able to retain 23 of them. You know, and there is some attrition in there, but, I mean, times are different. You know, they find out that they're going to be working 7 days a week, and they're just not willing to do that. I mean, it's you know, I don't want to say it's a different generation totally, but in a sense it is. But it's also the climate that we're living in now, and a lot of people, even the individuals that have been there for 25 or 30 or 35 years, have found out that it's a little more important to be with family or just to be away from work rather than working the continuous 7 day schedule.
Well, Brian, the fact that this is happening in a small town, this is outside of Mansfield, Ohio, I'm just wondering, what about the community? When you put 500 plus people out, when they didn't really want to strike, they're trying to get things done there. They're trying to negotiate, but they had no choice in this whole matter. I'm just wondering how the community is faring. Are they getting community support there? What are you hearing right now?
That is a great thing, Flash. I mean, I've never experienced this type of community support for a group of people. And, I mean, it's just unbelievable, the contributions that are coming into the Union Hall, with whether it's food or water. I mean, everything from, you know, hand warmers to blankets to jackets. I mean, everything. It's just unbelievable. The community has been fully behind us. I mean, there's one issue that we have. It's, you know, people going by on the strike line and honking the horns on the local, or the plant is located on Main Street in the town, and it's mainly primarily a residential area. So, I mean, we're trying to get that tone down a little bit to not disturb, you know, the community that lives right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have families to raise as well. And
sure.
I mean, so we're working on that this week to get that tone down. And we met with the company yesterday, to no avail. You know, not a lot of movement. I think we'll have to find out how serious they are today, and we'll go from there.
One more question. Are they bringing in replacement workers, scabs? Is that happening?
No, they are not at this point. Which was surprising on the way they left on the 31st, because we knew that they had nobody in there to go. I mean, our guys were going to continue to work up until the midnight. And, I mean, look, with the infrastructure bill recently passing, it is going to be huge for this plant, with the cylinders that they make through automotive all the way down to the pipe that they make for drilling. I mean, and farm machinery. I mean, they're there. This plant is going to be busy for 7-10 years probably with this infrastructure deal. And orders are only going to increase. And I don't understand why they want this fight with us at this time. I mean, business is good already.
Yeah, yeah. And they're making a lot of money. That's the other part of it. Jeez.
Exactly. It makes no sense, Flash.
Well, Brian, thanks for joining us here on America's Workforce. This is Brian Seeley we're talking to, and he's a staff rep for the United Steelworkers, and we're talking specifically about Local 3057 in Shelby, Ohio, where over 500 steelworkers are on strike since the beginning of the month. So stay strong and stay in touch with us, okay, Brian?
I absolutely will, Flash. Appreciate all your support, and you know, I'll keep you up to date on everything going on here.
Much appreciated. All right, that's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Tomorrow, Good Jobs First and the Operating Engineers Local 95. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.